E. Jean Carroll's new book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President, is an unfiltered memoir chronicling her two high-stakes civil trials against Donald Trump, first for sexual abuse in 2023 and then defamation in 2024, culminating in an over $100 million settlement awarded against him, $100 million awarded against him. It is a shame. It is horrible that this book had to be written, but thank God that it was, because it is funny, it is brave, it is a stunning revelation, not only into these trials, but into the life of E. Jean Carroll, who shares everything from trial strategy and wardrobe choices to psychiatric evaluations and courtroom drama, riffing on Trump's infamous "she's not my type" line during turning it into a narrative spine of her story while skewering his legal team's theatrics. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome E. Jean Carroll to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you, Joe.
It is an absolute delight. I will tell you, I did not expect this book to be as fresh and as funny and as offhanded as it was, given the subject at hand.
Well, yes. The book swirls around a very tragic and a hideous event. But, Joe, I found myself in the middle of a high comedy and surrounded with characters that even John Grisham himself could not have created. And there was no way I could not write a very sort of absurd and funny and, you know, bizarre book. It was too juicy to pass up many of those details.
Was it therapeutic for you to write it?
Oh, great question. Yes. It, as you read in early on in the book, I had never been to a therapist.
Right.
If anybody ever asked me how I was, I would answer like I answer you. Hi, Joe. I'm fabulous. So, yes, reliving the events was not only therapeutic, but it was a great, and I was stunned, it was a great release, because I got down everything I actually thought. And it was quite wonderful, actually, to do it.
I thought that part of the book was interesting for two reasons. One, because I've been in therapy for a long
time.
Wait
a minute, Joe. You read the book?
I read it from start to finish.
The hell out of here, really.
Not only did I read this one, I read your last one to get ready for reading this one.
No.
Yes.
Well, this is why you're a great, you know, radio host. This is why people listen to you. You actually, oh my God, I'm amazed. Most, you know, television and radio hosts don't have time to read.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, they
I'm
have
thrilled.
Time. They just don't do it. So here's the thing. I think that I was fascinated by the part about about the therapist. Because I've been in therapy for a long time, and whenever I bring up dreams, they don't. My therapist doesn't want to hear about it. That was where your therapist was like, just latched right on to your dream and said, "Okay, this is where we can start."
Yeah, no, she was thrilled with this dream. I got to admit, the dream came in three parts, and it was a fabulous dream. You could imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger starring in this dream. He wasn't, but it was sort of that kind of adventurous dream. And boy, the therapist just saw, oh, I see what you really want to do, E. Jean. And by the way, I did it, Joe, when I got to court. I did it.
And
when we were both in the courtroom. Yeah, I did it. When we were both in the courtroom, he was sitting about 8 feet behind me. And I turned around in my chair and lanced him with my eyes, and I got his attention, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. It was very intense. I said with my eyes what I wanted to say. He got the message. We looked at each other, and I turned back around. It was the most intense moment of my life. And it's thanks to that dream, and it's thanks to the therapist telling me. And, Joe, from that moment on,
yeah,
he never looked at me again in court, even though I was only about 15 paces from him when I took the witness chair and testified for 2 days. He never looked at me. Anytime I look at him, he would look away. So the therapist is right. You know, he is sort of an empty sack. And if you stare him down, that's it. I couldn't believe it.
And what the therapist was able to tell you, without giving away too much of the book, but what the therapist was able to tell you is that it's not what you're thinking about. It's how your body is feeling at that moment.
Yes.
And that was what was important to tell the jury. And this is the second trial, by the way. Well, ultimately the third, but okay. So that you would be able to get that point across to the jury.
Yes, she is. Joe, we're leaving out the key element here. I lost my ability. I was so frightened and nervous about being in the courtroom with him. I hadn't seen him face to face since the event happened. And I kept saying, I'm fine. I'm going to be great. I can't wait to face him in court. This is going to be great. Underneath, I was so terrified that when we were prepping for trial, 3 days before trial, I lost my ability to speak. I couldn't speak. Robbie Kaplan, my great attorney, was, preparing me for court. And she asked me a question, and she would put up on a screen a threat that I had received, on Twitter or Facebook. She'd say, "How does this make you feel, Eugene?" And I looked at it. I could see it. I could read it. And I could. I had absolutely no language. I couldn't form a word. I could you can hear me now. I'm even having trouble describing why I couldn't speak. So Robbie sent me home, made me talk to the therapist. And what the therapist said is, why you can't speak, Eugene, is because you see the gun pointed at you. You feel the gun in your mouth. You feel the man raping you anally. So when you look at a threat, it's like it's going to happen to you right then. That's why I couldn't talk. So she just said, you don't have to explain how you feel. Just describe what's going on in your body. So if Robbie showed me a threat from then on, I would say, I'm having trouble breathing.
Yeah.
I can't, my eyes won't focus. And I would just describe to her what I was going through. And that's what got us over the hump. That was what did it.
You start off the book talking about you're in the courtroom, and Alina Haba Esquire, as you refer to her, the Trump attorney, is asking you who you have slept with in your life. And so last night, I'm finishing up my prep for this interview. I log onto the New York Times, and there at the very top is an article. After a chaotic start, a U.S. attorney's time may be running out. This article about Alina Haba, President Trump's choice to run the U.S. attorney's office in New Jersey. Which I assume you saw that coming, in the sense of that this was a person who is perhaps a very good actress, but not the best at actually being an attorney. Not that is what the facts won you this case, obviously, But it certainly did not, and many people have said that, that this was not an attorney who helped her client.
Well, now, Joe, I'm going to disagree with you.
That's fine.
Because she defended him.
Yes.
She didn't know diddly squat about the law. She could not introduce a document. She couldn't do it. She's very beautiful and exquisitely confident and staggeringly arrogant. So she was very good defending him, not only in court, but out of court. Remember, after court, she would have press conferences. And she would attack me over and over. So what Alina Haba did is she got Donald Trump elected. Okay? So they used the trial to
yes.
help get him elected. She was very much a part of that. And she may be she may not get the vote. She may go down in flames to be New Jersey Attorney General, but mark my words, she's going to run for the Senate.
Yeah.
She's going to run for office.
And
we have not seen the last of Alina Haba Esquire or her beautiful diamond ring, which is as big as a Ritz cracker, her hair sometimes short, sometimes long, you know, her beautiful seal, baby seal eyes. We have not seen the last of Alina Haba Esquire.
And When you first came up against her, what is that like? Because you were ambivalent to want to bring this to trial anyway, and to move forward. You're talked into it by George Conway of all people.
Right.
And then you're there in the room with her, Alina Haba Esquire,
right.
And you're answering these intensely personal questions, which I assume are just trying to make you seem slutty.
Yeah.
And yet.
Oh, I love those questions. I love talking about my lovers. She could not have named anything that I more enjoyed talking about. No, what, you know, of course I'm going to love talking about my lovers. I, you know, we had a ball. This is great. Thank you, Alina Haba Esquire. No, my attorney, Robbie Kaplan, had prepared me over and over and over and over and over and said about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, do not trust Alina Haba Esquire. Do not trust Alina Haba. Do not trust Alina. But she walked in, and she's got a gorgeous smile. She said, good morning, Miss Carroll. Well, I liked her immediately. You know, she's that kind of person. My attorney had to keep telling me, do not trust her. Do not trust her. So, yeah.
Now, as you started rattling off the names, was your legal team saying, oh, God? Or did they think this was ultimately going to be helpful for you?
Well, they had you in a deposition. She has wide ranging the questioning attorney has wide ranging powers. She can ask me anything she wants. Robbie made an objection to the question, and just figured that Judge Kaplan, who was in charge, who the federal judge in charge of the case. The most conservative, by the book, no nonsense. Just he should be on the Sistine Chapel, the picture of God himself. He was never going to allow it in court. So Robbie sat back and enjoyed it. She just, you know, she rocked back and forth in her chair, stunned, as I listed my lovers. But no, so it was. Yeah, thank you, Alina Haba.
Was it important for you to talk about it even at the beginning of the book? And it's a list of eight. So you know, and then a little name dropping there of Richard Harris and Ben Vereen. I mean, it's a hell of a story.
But wait, Joe, your listeners, God bless your listeners. are different than the listeners who were in the deposition room. The listeners in the deposition room were all under, were young. Young video operators, yes. Young court transcribers. They had no idea who Richard Harris was. And so Robbie Kaplan and one of my other attorneys, Rachel Tuckman, were madly Googling as I listed Richard Harris, and said, shouted out in the middle of the deposition, Dumbledore!
Dumbledore and Pippin being the key words for both Ben-Marie and Annette.
They didn't even bother with Camelot or any of his, Academy Award nominated performances, but they, at least people had heard of Dumbledore. So, yeah, this is what happens when you're 81. You know, your lover's going to be slightly older, so nobody's going to know who they were.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the case. We'll talk about what you went through and this amazing book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President. It is published by St. Martin's Press. E. Jean Carroll will continue with us after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue, speaking with E. Jean Carroll, author of the new book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President. It's an amazing new book out from St. Martin's Press. E. Jean, I'm interested in, once you decided that you were going to file this lawsuit after a lot of years and after much time had passed, what was the feeling of the understanding within yourself that you took a hit here, that this was, there were things and aspects of your life that had profoundly changed after that moment in the Bergdorf Goodman changing room and dressing room that you were compelled then to tell the story for you and to get a reputation back that you felt you had lost.
As any woman knows who speaks out against a powerful man, there's a price to pay when you speak out, because when speaking out against a powerful man, and of course, Trump right now is the most powerful man on the planet Earth, there is a price, because you will not be believed. You will be called every name. You will be threatened. It'll be horrible. You will be dragged through the mud. And every woman who's come forward about Donald Trump has been attacked and dragged through the mud. And it is inevitable. But by the time I reached the age of 75, I said, screw it. If I don't speak out now, I will never speak out. And I had nothing to lose, because I don't want anything. I don't want. All I wanted people to know is this. Yes, he sexually abused me. Believe it. It happened. And I'm out to prove it. And that's what I did.
Given your career, given the fact that you are an established, very popular writer, the Ask E. Jean column in Elle magazine, of course, you wrote for Saturday Night Live, which I will admit I did not know until I read the book. And it is and you are a journalist. And so it seems almost intuitive that you would then want to tell the story, of to put it into the context of not only your life, but of the weird, just extraordinarily weird times we're living in.
Well, Joe, you've interviewed people all your life, and if something like this happened to you, wouldn't you write the book? Wouldn't you do a whole show about it?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're born to do. That's what you do. That is what I do. We're journalists. And you, there was no way in hell I could have kept this story to myself. Also, here's the thing that really decided me. Trump is rewriting history as we're on the phone right now. He is rewriting it, right? He's getting rid of, you know, much of our history. So it's really up to you and me to write what we know as fact and get it down and make a record. Really, we have to make a, I had to make a record. I beat the most powerful man on earth twice. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm an old, you know, desiccated crone, and I could do it. So I'm a little
hardly,
upset that people.
Hardly.
Well, Joe, people are sitting on their lazy asses right now. Right? Right?
Yes.
We got to do something. So, yeah.
So why then, if you say you can do it, but my God, many, many people have tried to bring this guy down in court and have not been able to do it. So there's something that you had. There's something that you did. There's something that your legal team was able to do that others in a court of law have been unable to do against the former and now current president of the United States.
Well, first of all, I had the once-in-a-generation legal mind, Robbie Kaplan, and I had a Carroll team, which it was stunning. Trevor Morrison was former dean of the New York University lawsuit. Joshua Matz, clerk for for Justice Kennedy. Kate Harris, she's now clerking for Sotomayor. It was an astonishingly talented, vibrant, cagey, wily team of lawyers. And in the first trial, amazingly, everybody said, oh, it's just a Manhattan jury. Sure, New York. No, we had an upstate jury. We had jurors from Trump counties. So the win was even bigger than people know. We convinced upstate New Yorkers, upstaters, not Manhattanite. So it was, I think we won because he was guilty. And I think we proved it. And he had one of the best criminal attorneys in the country. He had hired Joe Tacopina. I mean, you do not get a better criminal defense attorney than Joe Tacopina. You remember Natalie Holloway?
Yes.
When she was bludgeoned on the beach, who does the dad call? Joe Tacopina. Who does Michael Jackson call when he's accused of child molestation? Joe Tacopina. Who does the Sopranos actor call after he kills somebody? Joe Tacopina. Who does ASAP Rocky call when he's, you know, goes to trial for shooting and having a gun? Joe Tacopina. And basically he gets all these people off. Well, he kept the guy out of jail for 15 years. He bludgeoned Natalie Holloway.
Yeah,
but everybody else he got off.
Yeah,
he's very good, but he couldn't get Trump off because Trump just was guilty, and he had just smashed my reputation. He just really did a lot of damage. So my attorneys really figured out how to create a case where the jury could clearly see those facts.
E. Jean Carroll is our guest. The name of the new book is Not My Type. And this is one of the most incredible stories you tell here. And, of course, I think anybody who followed the trial probably knows this. But at one point, Robbie Kaplan shows Donald Trump a picture.
Oh.
And shows a picture, which is included in the book, Exhibit 23. And there's a picture of Trump, and there's a picture of two women. They ask who the woman is. This is after he said, "You're not his type," number one, and number two, that he has no idea who you are and has never met you prior. Who is it? And he said, "That's Marla." And yeah. Robbie said, "You're saying Marla is in this photo." Trump says, "That's Marla. Yeah, that's my wife." Which woman are you pointing to? Robbie says, and that is indeed not Marla Maples, but it is instead E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah.
Well, that, first of all, that's funny. I mean, that's just like, right? I mean, there had to have been a lot of high fives after that day.
You have no idea. they were just stunned when he said it. And oddly, the thing is, neither myself nor the team had realized, in fact, how much we did look alike. Right. I mean, it was. Then we followed up and looked at my photos from '96 in Marla Maples, and in some of them, you could not tell us. It was very difficult to tell us apart. So Trump I admit that Robbie set trap after trap for him, but nobody expected that. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, oh, my God. No.
Did you think during the first trial, he did not take the stand? And
no.
The question was always, was he going to take the stand? I assume you were prepared for all possibilities, but did you think that he would actually take the stand?
Well, I thought that, here's what I thought. I thought that if he was going to take the stand, he would win. He would win. If Trump took the stand in the first trial and came in and sat down and looked at that upstate jury and just really flooded them with, "I don't know who she is, I've never met her," and just denied it. I think he could have convinced one, at least, of those jurors, one of the upstaters. And all he needed was one person to hang the jury. And I would have lost. Joe Tacopina counseled him not to show up. I think it was a devastating error. Now, the reason Tacopina counseled him not to show up, because Joe Tacopina did not want Trump to be cross-examined for 7 or 8 hours by Robbie Kaplan. I mean, if Robbie got Trump on the stand, she would have ripped him to shreds. But I still think Trump had the ability, after, you know, being a bankrupt 6 different times, to convince the people in the United States he should be president. He was impeached twice. And during the second trial, he was running very strong for president again. The man can convince people of a lot of things. I just think it was a terrible mistake. What do you think, Joe?
Well, it seemed like, obviously, given the loss, but you do wonder, and I'm struck by what you said earlier, right? There's two different things going on inside the courtroom and outside the courtroom. So if he had then won the case, would he have won the election?
Wow, that's a fascinating. That's never occurred to me. Well, he may have lost the election that way because he wouldn't have been out in front of the courtroom every day.
Right.
Huh. Wow.
And you, I mean, you talk about this of and,
wow, that is, you know what, that really, I'm going to have to think about that for the rest of the day.
I've got other things
because
to do. Feel free.
Because if he had won the first case, we would not have gone forward with the second case.
Right. Right. There wouldn't have been the of going after him
the
over the defamation,
million, which made him look bad, which he campaigned on. I wonder.
How did you take the fact that when you realize that you're going through what you're going through, you're on the stand, you're trying to win this case and prove and clear your name that you had no reason losing in the first place. But then he's outside making buckets of money off of what happened.
Yeah. That's what he did.
Can you think? I mean, I guess I would probably try not to think about it too much.
I don't think about it until you start talking about it. Money, well, I'm going to give away the money. I don't need money. I live in a hovel in upstate New York. I'm perfectly happy. I don't need stuff, right? But the country's in a pretty desperate condition right now, demolishing our democracy. And so I would, give it away to help get our democracy back and certainly help women who are being set back 50 years in this country. It's that we're back in the 1950s in some states. So helping to repair that, so much to do with that money. I don't need it. So, but I'd like to, and I think that winning did accomplish what I wanted to accomplish, which was I got my name back, right? I got it back.
Yeah.
We proved that what he said was a lie. And so I'm happy about that. So, and we keep winning the appeals. So, I'm looking forward to giving away that money.
E. Jean Carroll is our guest. We're going to finish up our conversation with her and our talk about the book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President, after this short underwriting break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. E. Jean Carroll is our guest on the show, and it's just an absolute delight to have her with us this morning. You win the trial, and you reluctantly go on all the morning shows the next morning.
I don't like getting up that early.
And you don't really like doing what you're doing right now, right? I mean, you don't.
No, I like this because you know what? I like talking to you, and I like being, because first of all, it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, later.
11 to 12. I mean, this is a decent hour, and it's not television. Having interesting conversations, I adore. Absolutely adore it. But I'm not very good on TV. And it's difficult. It was just, the win was so big, and I was so happy. It was just strange having to go on TV to say how happy I was. It was just a bizarre, it's a bizarre thing to go through to be so happy that it was difficult to explain to George Stephanopoulos how happy I was. But I got it done.
So you go on the shows, and you have different answers to the same questions. But one of the things people ask you is, what are you going to do now? And you said, well, I'm going to adopt a dog for my dog.
Yeah.
So tell me about your dogs. You have three now?
Oh, they're here. They're listening to this enchanting conversation. Yes, I did. Yes, I did adopt a dog for my dog. And my dog is Guffington von Fluke, an 84-pound pit bull watchdog. And the dog I adopted for Guffington von Fluke is Miss Havisham.
Yes.
An enormous, she looks like a moving iceberg. She's a Great Pyrenees. Also rescued. And now we have, so that Guff's very happy and Miss Havisham's very happy, and we're like a happy. Except Miss Havisham does not chase balls. Did you know that? Great Pyrenees do not chase balls. No.
But probably too smart for it, right? Like, if you want to, why are you throwing it away? If you
exactly,
want to go,
exactly, they're not going to. Amazing.
You go get it. Sure.
What kind of dogs do you have, John?
I have one dog, and it's a yellow lab. His name is Tully. It's named after whiskey.
What's his name?
A Tully, after Tullamore, the whiskey. Yeah. Now you have a cat.
Yes.
Is the cat still with us?
She's here somewhere. Yeah. Vagina T Fireball.
Vagina T Fireball. That's right. You heard it here on the round table.
Well, and that's you. I see what you're doing here. You're leading, because right after we got off the morning shows that very night, Trump went on the CNN town hall meeting and made fun of sexual assault and named Vagina T Fireball on CNN town hall because he thought that would prove that he was not guilty and that I was a horrible floozy. We had to sue him again.
Yeah, you actually made that easier for me than I wanted. I really just wanted to hear about the dogs. But no, it is a very interesting point of this, because but doesn't it just tell you about the guy that you just lose and then you're told not to do this? And this was the whole part of the second trial where he is in the courtroom, you're there. You talked about this early on in our conversation about that incredible moment where you lock eyes and just the pressure and the horribleness of that moment. But then he doesn't shut up. He's always, they tell him to stop talking, and he just won't stop talking.
Yeah. Oh, man. The jury was riveted by him because he constantly moaned and complained and bellyached and spit and snarled and just belittled Alina Haba Esquire. He sounded like raw sewage escaping from a leaky pipe, a constant stream. It was amazing. And he was going to have a difficult time winning a case in a federal courtroom, in the building, in the place, Southern District of New York, and I know a lot of New Yorkers are listening. This is the mother court. Southern District of New York is the mother court. Yeah. That court was the first. That court held trials before the Supreme Court held a trial. This was the mother court, the queen of all the federal courts in the country. And for Trump to misbehave in the Southern District of New York, in the mother court of the United States of America, was a terrible mistake, because the jury was riveted to him. And no matter what he said, they could see that he was completely disrespectful to the rule of law, completely disrespectful. And the most dramatic moment in the courtroom was not my day of testimony or my next day of being crossed or any of that stuff. The most dramatic moment was Robbie Kaplan addressing the jury and giving the final argument, the closing argument, and telling the jury, using, by the way, Trump's deposition for the fraud trial where he bragged about how rich he was. She took those numbers and was telling the jury, this is a man who says his brand alone is worth $10 billion. How much money will it take to make him stop defaming E. Jean Carroll? As Robbie was giving this final argument, she so got to Trump. He stood up in the middle of her closing argument and turning vermilion, you could see the steam coming off the back of his neck and out of his ear. He walks out of court. I mean, that's what a guilty man does, right? Yeah. He turned tail and ran, well, in his case, walked out of court. And there's no way a jury could return, a verdict of anything but what they returned. He just looked like a criminal running. It was horrible. I mean, it was great. And it was
worked out. I have two questions in 3 minutes. So let me ask the easy one first, which is, do you think you'll ever see a dime?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What you're owed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, both cases. Yes, absolutely. He's run out of the appeals. He's lost every appeal. On the first case, he'll probably appeal to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, I don't think any expert in the country would say that the Supreme Court would take a case where the president is being held liable for sexual assault. I don't think they're going to take it. There's nothing in it that is that can be overturned. There's not one thing about that case. The second case is different. That may go to the Supreme Court, but we'll win there too.
And finally, I get a sense in reading this book, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eugene, but it seems to me that you are, after a long time, a woman relatively at peace.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm more at peace than anything, and I want everybody to... I'm going to stir up some stuff now because I've got nothing to do, Joe. So I'm a little upset that everybody's on their lazy asses. I want us to stand up now and start to do something about what's going on. So I want everybody to go to my Substack, E. Jean Carroll, Substack. We're going to start a little something this week.
Well, we need a little something, and to know that you're at the head of it, that makes me feel much, much better. I will also...
Well, come on board, Joe.
I'm there. I also want to say this is an amazing book. If you get a chance to get the audiobook, though, and hear Eugene read it, it is delightful. I know you denigrate yourself in this, but as reading it, but my God, you did a great job. It's very fun. Eugene Carroll, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President. I have great respect and admiration for you, and I thank you so much for being our guest this morning.
Well, this has been wonderful. I got to have my breakfast and my coffee with you. Thank you, Joe.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President by Eugene Carroll. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.